Welcome to SCOTUSCast, Disability Law and Police Intervention Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On March 23, 2015, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in City and County of San Francisco v. Sheehan. This case asks two questions. The first is whether law enforcement officers are required by the Americans with Disabilities Act to accommodate a mentally ill suspect who is armed and hostile while they're bringing the suspect into custody. The second question is whether law enforcement entry into a home could be unreasonable for purposes of the Fourth Amendment, even where a warrant requirement exception existed, if law enforcement officials anticipated an armed, hostile suspect within. To discuss the case, we have Tom Getty, who is a principal in Morgan Lewis Consulting and of counsel to Morgan Lewis and Bacchus. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Getty.
This is Tom Getty with a post-argument SCOTUSCast. On March 23, 2015, the U.S. Supreme Court heard argument in City and County of San Francisco versus Teresa Sheehan on a petition that was granted to decide the question whether Title II of the American with Disabilities Act, or ADA, requires law enforcement officers to provide accommodations to an armed, violent, and mentally ill suspect in the course of bringing the suspect into custody. At least that's what the court thought it granted, as became clear in the oral argument no sooner than counsel for San Francisco said her obligatory, "Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court." Here's some background to the case. While it also presented a Fourth Amendment issue relating to whether a law enforcement entry into a residence could be unreasonable because of the anticipated resistance of an armed and violent suspect within, the bulk of the oral argument focused on the scope and reach of the ADA when the law enforcement officers move to arrest an armed and dangerous suspect who is mentally disabled. In this case, the two female police officers followed up on a report from a social worker who reported that Teresa Sheehan, located in her apartment at her group home for mentally ill individuals, threatened the social worker with a knife and threatened to kill him. Sheehan subsequently threatened the officers with the knife, and after the officers left the apartment but decided to re-enter and disarm Sheehan, they were charged by Sheehan wielding the knife and threatening to kill them. After attempting to subdue her with pepper spray, which did not stop her, the officers drew and fired their weapons at her, injuring her seriously in the process. The district court granted summary judgment to the city when Sheehan sued on various claims, including violations of the Fourth Amendment and the ADA. Judge Charles Breyer, relying in part on a Fifth Circuit decision, ruled that the officers, quote, attempted to detain a violent, mentally disabled individual under exigent circumstances. It would be unreasonable to ask officers in such a situation to first determine whether their actions would comply with the ADA before protecting themselves and others, close quote. The Ninth Circuit, relying on other circuit court decisions, reversed and remanded on the ADA claim, concluding that Title II applies to arrests. The Supreme Court granted review, and only eight justices will determine the case, as Justice Breyer recused himself, the district court judge being his brother. The opening argument was interrupted by Justice Scalia before it began. Justice Scalia noted the petition from San Francisco addressed whether Title II of the ADA does or does not require accommodations for armed and violent suspects who are disabled, but now the city is conceding that Title II does apply to armed and dangerous suspects, but that the Act's requirements for modification in policies, practices, or procedures would not have eliminated the significant risk that she imposed to others. Justice Scalia then said, quote, "There's a technical word for this. It's called bait and switch," close quote. And then he asked if the court should appoint somebody else to argue the point that the city asked in the petition. Counsel for the city bravely proceeded, relied upon the city's reply brief, where it argued that an armed and violent individual's accommodation under the ADA is not required where there is a direct threat and the public safety risk is not eliminated. Justice Sotomayor also jumped in, asking counsel for the city about her use of the words, quote, direct threat, close quote, and, quote, risk, close quote, which were not presented in the papers below. Quote, what are we supposed to do with this? Close quote, she asked counsel. As a consequence, much of San Francisco Council's 20 minutes of argument focused on what was argued in the papers and not on the argument itself. Ultimately, however, the counsel for the city did emphasize that the Fifth Circuit case, Haynes versus Richards, a 2000 decision, decided that in exigent circumstances, there's no need to provide accommodation under the ADA, and that where the exigent circumstances rise to the level they did here, it would not be a reasonable accommodation under the ADA as a matter of law to delay the arrest or to attempt to resolve the armed and violent public safety question by other means. The United States Deputy Solicitor General took 10 minutes of argument time to set forth the view that the ADA does apply to all arrests by law enforcement officers, and that the case should go back to the lower courts to allow Sheehan to make her case that the officers should have made an accommodation and delayed any action until things cooled down. He emphasized the Justice Department regulations say the officer's priority is to stabilize the situation, and the standard should be to recognize it will be rarely the case that accommodation is needed when there is great danger to the officers. But in the end, then he reemphasized that in factual situations such as this, the officers should have considered whether there was a situation in which a reasonable modification under the ADA was appropriate. Justice Kennedy rejected this approach by noting, quote, I think the standard you just proposed gives no guidance at all to an officer faced with a violent person, close quote. Argument by counsel for Ms. Sheehan focused on this being a factual dispute, not a legal one. When Justice Scalia then noted, quote, I don't know why we took the case, close quote, counsel agreed and suggested the court could dismiss this case as improvidently granted. Counsel for Sheehan argued Haynes was wrongly decided and that the ADA does apply and simply provides for a defense. The, quote, direct threat, close quote, defense under Section 139 of the ADA regulations. The discussion also turned to whether danger to self, meaning a suicide risk, was at issue here or under the ADA, and counsel for Ms. Sheehan argued that it was not. Justice Scalia again jumped in that danger to self should be considered, and Justice Ginsburg joined to say, quote, but this is about danger to the police officers. This is a case where a social worker says she threatened to kill me, close quote. Counsel for Ms. Sheehan reemphasized the direct threat defense is the appropriate tool in an ADA case of this sort. In the end, the oral argument provided little clue where the court will go on this question, or even if it wants to answer the ADA question, if one single question could be isolated at all. The court does have before it the Haynes case from the Fifth Circuit, and the decision of the Ninth Circuit in contrast. It may decide to decide this, or like a James Bond movie title, it may decide another day. What is clear is that the reach of the ADA to the actions of police officers facing armed and violent and mentally ill individuals is an increasingly difficult and more frequently encountered scenario, and the standards are not yet clear. We shall see if the High Court clarifies this one.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.